Yo, hey, we are back with another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. What up, guys? Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are. I appreciate you for listening. So, tonight, I have a couple more chapters for you of God Bless the Girls, chapters 40, 41, and 42. We're continuing from last week where Mark is telling his version of the story to Sarah, who has already escaped and been in the hospital and is home. He's already told her about the history of the family and how they are and how they got that way to a certain degree. And also, he is starting to tell them, he's telling Sarah how he tailed them. And after being at the real estate convention that his mom was being honored at, Lynn, and seeing Jerry Sr. and Teresa there, Jerry Jr. makes the mistake and is on the phone with Teresa after not being able to find her and telling her that they are not going to abduct another person that night because the town is already suspicious over them abducting Sarah. And when Mark hears that, it drives him insane because he had been trying to find his friend. So he tells them, police tells them in his own car, to this big rural area where they live at, surrounded by forest and trees. And he's trying to find his way to get to Sarah, but he's doing it in the dark so he doesn't get, so trying to be inconspicuous. And right when he's getting pretty close to the house, bam, Sarah runs out and runs into the forest. And he also sees Gore running out there into the forest after her. And he tries to use his dad's shotgun, which he stole from his dad, use the shotgun and shoot Gore. But he realizes that he didn't even cock the goddamn gun. Holy shit, what are you doing? So after that, he runs back to the car because they're too far away in the forest. He runs back to the car. And eventually gets on some train tracks where after a while, you know, trucks aren't meant for train tracks. He topples over and is upside down with the shotgun pointed at his fucking forehead. He's in trouble. So he breaks out the window of his truck and he's chasing Gore and Sarah. And it all comes to a head when he catches up to them, and you got everybody that's the most important characters involved. You got Jerry Sr., you got Teresa in the truck, you got Gore chasing after Sarah, and you got Mark right there pointing his gun at everybody. And Sarah obviously didn't know that that was him, or didn't know at all because she had just been drugged. But so he lets off a shotgun round into the cab, which eventually kills Jerry Sr. and Teresa, and Gore is going apeshit looking like he wants to kill Mark. Mark keeps his gun on him until he can get far enough away from him, and he goes and chases Sarah, and you know what the rest happens. You know, so they meet after they come out of the forest. His dad had found him via the pin that he had left his location on his phone in the passenger side. And there you go. So after he goes and explains himself at the police department, Mark is let go, and he was right there with Sarah during every thing in the hospital. Every time she woke up, that he was right there, and he's now at her house doing the same thing. So we're going to continue from right there. We're going to start with chapter 40 and keep on moving on. So without further ado, I bring to you God Bless the Girls, chapters 40, 41, and 42. And as we all know, everything on this podcast, Dialogue Heavy, at this point right now, has been written and recited by me, Michael Anthony McMillan. Here we go. Chapter 40. We were inseparable in those days. And we are now too. And I ended up going to college. I ended up going off to college. And I did date a few cute boys. But more and more over those years away, I found it hard to go back to the school after summer and Christmas break. And it was always because of Mark. During the ending of my tenure exploring the world outside of Texas, Mark came up for my graduation and embarrassed the shit out of me in front of my whole family by asking me for his hand in marriage. And I returned the embarrassment in him when I turned him down. But don't worry, I cheered him up later that night when I told him that I would date him officially. Then, fast forward, 2 years later, I finally did say yes to his marriage proposal, and last year we tied the knot in a nice, quiet Mexican villa. I had my mind set and my heart set on moving out of Texas and leaving all what happened in the past, but Mark couldn't do it. He was the only child, and he loved his family too much to put that much distance between himself and them, so we made the compromise and moved to San Antonio, which is about 4 hours away from Galveston. Part of the reason why I wanted to move so far away is because I have this secret that nobody knows about, not even Mark. I've been itching to talk about it with at least Terry, but I wanted to see her face to face when I told her. More on that encounter later. What nobody knows is I received letters from Gore in prison. It started about a month or so after he got sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He wrote me to say sorry. And what was crazy is that I don't know if it was because it was in writing and not in person, but it seemed like he was saying it so nonchalantly, like the acceptance of said apology was of no importance, like he was just talking. Of course, I've never written him back, but he never misses an occasion, not a Christmas nor birthday. His demeanor is a little off at times, though. It seems to change letter by letter. In one letter, he would tell me how life was in prison with fighting and gangs. And the next, he would say that he hated me for putting him in there. And he even once accused me of being the reason why his parents were dead. Go figure. The first time I received the threatening letter from Gore, I was frightened and I almost reached out to the jail. But before I had time to maneuver around Mark and send it off, I received another letter from him. And in that one, get this, he's writing me that he's in love with me and that he misses me and that he was never going to hurt me like the other girls. The idiot even told me he was going to marry me when he got out and treat me like the queen that I am. The fuck? Of course, I thought he was delusional, but the things that he was saying were sweet. And it was a bit endearing to hear someone fascinated over every inch of you. Mark loved me, but he didn't pine over me like Jerry Jr. did. And I can't deny it. It started affecting me. I started guarding the mailbox like a Secret Service agent, checking it multiple times a day. Then when the letters started coming more and more frequently, Mark mysteriously lost his keys. And I mysteriously forgot to make him a new one every day until he finally forgot about it. After a while, I just couldn't wait to hear yet another soliloquy of this man's undying love for me. It was so intoxicating and so dangerous. And worse is, I was starting to like it. And I'm sure Jerry knew it too, because it wasn't like he was receiving any return to sender letters. But then something struck me as odd, and I got to thinking, those holiday letters? Those were what they were. It was to be expected, being that Christmas falls on the same date every year. But how the fuck did he know my birthday? Now, I never did get any of my belongings back from the abduction. Maybe he kept my ID. Not to mention, you can find out anybody's birthday if you look them up on Facebook. But sometimes he would drop these subtle innuendos in his letters that were a little too coincidental. Like one time, I'd colored my hair for Halloween and took pictures with friends at a party. 3 weeks later, he would mention it. Another time, I stopped running for a while and let myself go. And 3 weeks later, he'd talk about health in a letter. I never really paid a ton of attention to it because the lion's share of the letters were all complimentary. But subconsciously, something was brewing up there. And I knew something was going on because when Mark and I made the pilgrimage to San Antonio, the letters never stopped. Chapter 41. Terry called me upset one day and told me Gore had been writing Boston. Holy shit. When she told me that, I started sweating behind the ears. I wasn't jealous, or at least I didn't think so. I just knew that she had to be the connection between Gore and my pen pal affair. Excuse me. I'm not sure what kind of relationship they have, but I'm guessing it isn't a healthy one. I was always curious about Boston, even back down there in the basement. One second, it seemed like she wanted to be out just as bad as the rest of the girls. And the next, it felt like she was on the Jacobson family's dark side. By the way, Terry freaked out over Boston and Gore's correspondence. I knew she would kill me if I told her my secret. So I had this temporary amnesia during that conversation. And I just listened as she barked off Boston's reasonings for rekindling the relationship. She said things like, he's actually really sweet when you get to know him. And his parents forced him into that life. And the kicker of all of them was, he never raped us and he was never going to do us like the other girls. Sound familiar? I don't even think Terry heard the dial tone after ending her call with Boston before she called Susie and I and told us everything. That's it, I thought. Gore used Boston to keep tabs on the golden virgin that he never got the chance to defile. Now, by the time I had woke up back then in my coma in the hospital, the girls from my particular house had already given their statements and were sent home to be with their families. And as time passed, it just felt weird to call up another trauma victim and discuss trauma, especially when that's the only thing that we all had in common. It was only when I got a social media account for work a couple of years ago that an actual relationship started between the girls and I. And in a very strange, awkward way, it was Mark that brought it about. Mark, God bless his heart, thought he was a super detective after the fiasco. He would watch YouTube videos on abduction, read cold case blogs, and try to find out who done it before the cops could. And who could blame him? He was better than Sherlock Holmes when it came to finding me. It was a bit creepy, though, when I tried to wipe out the cookies from our home computer one day and saw all that rape murder crap in our browser history, but otherwise, it wasn't a big deal to me. Anyway, after the cat was let out of the bag and he told me about this blog called Slasher Lover. And on that blog, there was an agitator on there, always arguing with people and giving these skewed opinions on capture and abductions. And guess what her screen name was? You guessed it. Boston 97. Chapter 42. It took me forever to finally message the screen name, but when I did, it was definitely her. It was so weird to put a crystal clear image of Boston's face to the voice that I can never forget. She hadn't changed a ton, looks-wise, since the basement, but her aura did feel a bit dark. What did they say? Times change, but people don't? Well, that was Boston. She was still kind of funny, kind of bossy, and I still never knew where the hell she was going in any given conversation because she contradicted herself all the time. She was the initial spark that not only brought us girls back to speaking regularly, but eventually hanging out in Denver. And it was also around this time that Gore's letters became more and more specific to my looks and whereabouts. Now I had to worry. What else could she be telling Gore? Did he also know that I was married now? And more importantly, did he know the man I married was the same man who ruined his life and killed the only people he ever loved? It was time to find out. It was time to find out the truth. It was time to put all the chips on the table, and it was time for me to confront Miss Boston in Denver. All right, guys. Chapters 40, 41, and 42 of God Bless the Girls. We finally got through it. As bad as this episode might sound, believe it or not, it's like my fifth or sixth time trying. It's just been a crazy night. We've got the rain and the weather and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, I hope you liked it. I hope it's still interesting for you. And that all the characters are still speaking to you now. Sarah is starting to get into it where the girls are now back in person outside of the basement. So that's going to be interesting next week to see how they interact with each other and how everything goes on. I know, but you're going to have to wait to find that out. So, dude, thank you for listening to this podcast, Dialogue Heavy. We now have 2,000 plus weekly listeners to this little old engine that could. I cannot believe that this is actually happening, but I'm glad that you guys are here, and I'm glad that you're continuing to listen. It's really, really cool. I appreciate you. I really, really, really do. I can't thank you enough. So Yeah, that's it for today, man. I'll get out of here and get out of your hair. Thanks for listening. I will be back next week with another episode, and it's about to get even deeper, like how we usually do, man. So without further ado, I'm out of here, player. Y'all talk to you later. Peace. I'm out of here.